Светлана Тихановская.
I am now standing at this place, and I am no longer afraid to stand here as I was before.
A presidential election in Belarus is not usually an occasion requiring the laying in of provisions and inviting over of friends for an anxious up-all-night watch of the count. Since Belarus became independent from the former Soviet Union in 1991, it has held 5 presidential elections. These have all been won by President Alexander Lukashenko. On Sunday, Belarus will hold its 6th presidential election. This, too, will be won by President Alexander Lukashenko. It may not seem, therefore, immediately apparent that a Belarusian presidential election is the stuff of which explainers are made. What, after all, is to explain? Unregenerate tyrant stages obviously rigged election in order to paint his regime with the thinnest imaginable coat of democratic legitimacy, has done so before, 5 times in fact, and will certainly do so again if the opportunity presents. Business as usual, dictators gonna dictate. This time, however, there are some slight indications that President Lukashenko might not get things entirely his own way. The result of the election itself is not really in any doubt. Lukashenko will win, and by a decent margin. He got a tick over 84% of the vote last time out in 2015, or so the official numbers said. Lukashenko has previously shown some understanding that a win can be so convincing as to be unconvincing. He has indeed breezily admitted fixing the result of at least one previous presidential election, that of 2006, although he said he revised his mandate downwards, from the 93% he claimed to have received at the ballot box to the more modest 82.6% which was published, which you'll agree was mighty self-effacing of him. Speaking to Belarus's parliament ahead of this year's election earlier this week, Lukashenko declared that Belarusians have no right to make a mistake when they head to the polls on Sunday, a confident choice of slogan. Lukashenko has also taken routine precautions vis-à-vis the opposition candidates, variously denying them permission to run on some or other pretext, hounding them into exile, or locking them up.
My husband is in jail. I had to hide my children for their safety. I sacrificed a peaceful life for the sake of all of us.
His major opponent this time round is newcomer Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who has stepped up in the place of her husband, the popular activist blogger Sergei Tikhanovsky, whose campaign for the presidency was ended by his arrest on May 29th. But it's what might happen after Election Day which is potentially interesting this time. There are indications that patience with Lukashenko is dwindling in 2 key constituencies. 1, the people of Belarus. 2, the government of Russia.
We came here because we want our vote to be counted fairly, that's all. We don't want any coups or revolutions.
More Belarusians have been demonstrative of their desires for Lukashenko's retirement than ever before. In recent weeks, thousands have turned up at protests against him and at rallies in support of Tikhanovskaya, in full recognition of the risk to liberty and safety that such civic participation occasions in Lukashenko's Belarus. As for President Lukashenko's long-standing patron Russia, it appears that President Vladimir Putin thereof might still be bristling at Lukashenko's recent rejection of the suggestion that Belarus enter into some sort of federation with Russia. Last week, Belarusian authorities announced the arrest of 33 men who, they alleged, were mercenaries employed by Wagner, the private Russian military firm whose conveniently deniable operatives have also performed some of the Kremlin's murkier recent meddling in Syria, Ukraine, and Libya. Belarusian authorities claimed that the Wagner men were concocting some nefarious plot in cahoots with Lukashenko's opponents. Russia claimed that they were en route to Latin America, which maybe wasn't quite as ridiculous as it sounded. Wagner mercenaries have been reported in Venezuela, and while many flights out of Moscow have been grounded by COVID-19, flights out of Minsk have not. President Lukashenko has insisted all along that the virus can be cured by saunas, vodka, and tractor rides, cunningly repurposing his ideal weekend as public health policy. Some of the Wagner 33 at least demonstrated a sense of humour, insisting that they were going to Istanbul to see the newly reconsecrated Hagia Sophia, thereby suggesting that they, like the GRU hitmen who distributed a fatal nerve agent around Salisbury in 2018 on the pretext of visiting that city's cathedral, were merely blameless steeple enthusiasts.
Our elder brothers have become quiet. They're not shouting anymore that they sent those guys to Istanbul. There was no Istanbul and could not be, as it turned out. It is clear that the group had other goals.
Lukashenko, apparently concerned by the souring of Belarus's relationship with Russia, has recently sought friends and partners elsewhere, welcoming US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to Minsk, sourcing oil supplies from Norway. So the curious possibility now looms of some sort of confrontation in Eastern Europe between a democratic opposition movement backed by Russia and an old-school post-Soviet tyrant backed by the United States. And if you think that sounds just too fantastically absurd a scenario to countenance, have you met 2020? For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.